the truth. Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org, your home for free speech. You're going to go there, you're going to click on the donate button, you're going to keep free speech alive, and go to nationalbugle.com, download the kosher certified app, lead a non-kosher certified lifestyle. This is the time of the month when I do a joint show with Andy Hitchcock. This time, we did a three-way joint show with the newly revitalized, the newly re-emergent Stormfront. I hope you enjoy it. Here it is.
Lay the proud usurpers low, tyrants fall and every foe. Liberties in every blow, let us do or die. Welcome to Stormfront.
And welcome, Jay. We really appreciate your live intro music. I'm Don Black, and our special guest today is Andy Hitchcock, and we have Patrick Slattery with us as well, along with Jay. So, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And just by means of explanation, every second Tuesday for the past several months, Andy Hitchcock and I have been doing a joint program, which has a name, title. I don't know how to pronounce it. Andy, what do we call it?
It's Boomercalifragilisticexpialidocious, which is a take on the song Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious from the Mary Poppins film that came out in 1964, that was apparently the last year that one could be born and still called a boomer.
Yeah, and you're surrounded. You're surrounded by boomers, Andy. So welcome. But we do this, and he broadcasts it on his show. I broadcast it on my show. And we always do it at this hour. Well, now that Stormfront is at this hour, the quick fix, at least for this month, seemed to be, well, let's just let's do it during Stormfront. You'll be the guest on Stormfront. We'll have, like, instead of getting two shows out of it, we'll get three shows out of it. For people who are already regular listeners to all these shows, apologies for the reruns, but we figured that there was more benefit in getting our respective audiences to know that, yes, Stormfront is back. And so every now and then a little bit of cross-advertising is helpful. So that's why we had him on. Usually it's just a conversation between Andy and I, but now we've got the roundtable format for this show. So let the roundtable begin. What are we talking about?
Well, I'd like to just mention that I know Andy from a great book that he wrote called The Synagogue of Satan. I read that about 4 years ago. It was in our library up in West Virginia at the National Alliance, and it's a really good book. And, of course, Synagogue of Satan comes from the book of Revelation in the Bible. It's mentioned two times in Revelation. In Revelation 2:9, the Bible says, "I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan." And then it mentions it again in Revelation 3:9, "Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. I will make them worship at your feet," which refers to worshiping at Jesus's feet when he returns.
Yeah, absolutely, Jay. And wow, that's I didn't know. I've spoken to Kevin Alfred Strom before. I think he's very good. I heard you recently talking about the American Distant Voices show, which is another one I listened to. It's so tight and well done. You know, you're talking at just under 20 minutes that he goes out every Saturday. I've spoken to him in the past, but he does put out good work. I don't agree with him on everything, but we don't agree with everyone on everything. But certainly he's a great presence, and I think that Dr. William Pierce would be very pleased at the way he has taken the National Alliance forward.
Well, thank you. And many people may not know that the National Alliance is not a Christian organization. We actually have our own religion, cosmotheism. But I don't want to get into that. We've got Mr. Andrew Carrington Hitchcock to talk with.
Okay. Well, go ahead, Don. Sorry.
Okay. Let's pick that up. Patrick, do you have subject lines?
Well, I thought one thing we could touch on, at least to get Andy's reaction to it, was what seems to be walking back of the hardcore coronapocalypse crackdown in Britain, where Boris Johnson has announced that there will be no vaccine passports and no more lockdowns. Is this a big thing? Was he forced to do this, or is there some trick here that we haven't, that's not immediately obvious?
Well, Patrick, my view initially, I was very surprised when the announcement was made. What it was going to involve was at the end of this month, if you go to nightclubs or football games, soccer games, you will need a vaccine passport. And then that was pulled. And it had quite an interesting history, because one of the ministers who announced it said earlier in the year that he didn't want to go down that route anyway. So they're always chopping and changing their minds, as we know. But the more I've had to digest this, I know he's also said about the lockdowns, but he said we weren't going to have lockdowns before we had another one, you know. If I put my conspiratorial hat on, then my opinion of what has happened now is that as soon as you issue the vaccine passport, you're going to mobilise a lot of people on the streets to protest against it. And as you're probably all aware, there's been a hell of a lot of protests in the UK, not just in London, but around the UK, against not just the lockdowns, but the vaccine and the whole, you know, COVID narrative, if you like. And so if they do that, they're going to mobilise more people on the streets. What I can see happening is another lockdown at some point, and then they'll say, right, you can come out of lockdown when you've got a vaccine passport. And it's far easier to get people to take the vaccines when they're in a lockdown and they're told that they can only get out of the lockdown if they take the vaccines than there is if, people are allowed to move freely, as they've now seen. So that's where I think that they could be going, but it's only speculation on my part. We all know that they're trying anything in their power to get this so-called vaccine into our system. I've got a regular Monday guest, Malefica Scott, who is the grandson of Lieutenant John Crea Scott, who wrote the book Hidden Government in 1954 that you may be familiar with. He calls the JABS an acronym for just acquiescing blindly, and I think that that's a good terminology for it. Back to you, Patrick.
Well, I was talking to Mark Collett just now, as we're recording my show for today. And he was raising the point that at the same time as, one hand giveth and the other taketh away, well, what was being taketh away was parental rights over their children, basically, because the government, in violation or, in contradiction to its own expert panel, which recommended that children age 12 to 18 not be given the jab because their risks from COVID are so low anyway that there's no benefit to them, and yet there is a risk from the vaccine. In spite of that, the government is recommending the government will make the jab available to children 12 to 18 without parental consent. And they will give it to them in the context of the school system, where they will be subjected to all sorts of pressures from teachers and peers. Have you had time to digest that, Andy?
I haven't looked into that in too much detail. Now that you mention it, I was thinking, am I aware of this? And yeah, I have heard something to the effect of now they're saying that the children can choose whether to, get this vaccine or what have you. But, again, we go down the lines of children, being able to decide if they want to go through transgender reassignment surgery, yet they can't vote until they're 18 or drink or smoke or anything like that, So it's not a surprise, because, of course, we know that the education system now in the West, wherever you are in the Western world, is completely Marxist. And the indoctrination there, the children are going to get more indoctrination from the teachers than they are from their parents, and they're more likely to go along with it. And it takes us back to was it Lenin or Stalin or someone who came out some comment that, you know, give me a generation of children and you know, I can take over the country. I'm really badly mixing this one up, paraphrasing it, but there was something they need to get to the children, and I think that that's what they're doing.
Jay, any thoughts?
Well, I believe that was probably Lenin that made that statement, because Stalin wasn't really that much of an intellectual. He was more of a strong man.
Strong man and an organizer. He was a party man. He was an organizer.
Yeah.
And he made an organization that kept him in power for the rest of his life. And that was actually, you know, that was probably one of the reasons that he was where he was viewed as not an intellectual. He was viewed as somebody who didn't have, you know, the theoretical framework to be able to really rule the country. And you had these different factions of Jews who thought, okay, well, we'll just let this dumb goy from the Caucasus Mountains, this dumb Caucasian, in, and we'll still be able to rule the roost. And it didn't work out that way. Well, you know, we can continue in this line of, you know, in the British COVID-19 line, or there's also stuff happens in the United States too, and we've got in Los Angeles mandates for 12 to 18 year olds. So it's not that they will be pressured within the school; it's that they have to have it. And of course, we've got all these university students who are back in school, and so many of them have had to have the jab. And you know, even the official science just shows that. In Britain, the chance of a child in that age group, 12 to 18, going into the hospital. Having to go to the hospital, not talking about dying, but just having to be hospitalized for COVID-19 is 1 in 500,000. Okay. And how many people in Britain are there of that age group? So, you know, you might have 10, like, would you have 5 million people in that age group and 1 in 500? You might have 10 people. You might have 10 people in that age group having to go to the hospital, maybe 10 people. And so you're going to try to get everybody else to get the jab so those 10 people don't go to the hospital, knowing full well that you've got, like, you know, cardiomyosis, enlargement of the heart, as a side effect of the vaccine, especially for boys of that age group. I mean, so the whole thing is completely insane, and yet it's going forward. So are we getting pushback? I mean, it's certainly not adequate, but are there the seeds of a pushback in America, or is this pretty much a done deal? Anybody?
I think we're getting a lot of pushback in America, which I'm a little more familiar with, but. You know, there's a certain amount of acceptance, as we all know, complacency amongst our people.
Well, we're getting pushback in one respect. In California, they're having a recall election today of their governor, Gavin Newsom, and there's already signs of voter fraud going on. I think they just arrested a methamphetamine dealer. And he not only had methamphetamine, but illegal guns and 300 fraudulent voter tallies
ballots.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we've got a lot going on today, don't we? Including the recall election, where I don't know how that's going to turn out.
I came across a poll, if you don't mind. Was it in Zero Hedge? But a poll of American attitudes towards vaccine mandates, and it was something like close to 60% opposing, and less than 30% supporting. And yet, I mean, is this our democracy?
Yeah. Interesting. We don't know what these polls mean, if they mean anything. But I think most Americans do oppose a vaccine mandate, forced medication. But that's what the system is pushing now. So we will we'll see what happens in California today, but there is a lot of resistance out there, so we'll find out if it's enough.
Yeah. You know, last week we talked a little bit about Australia, and one of you mentioned that Google had redone its algorithms to keep news of the Australian trucker strike from being brought up by Google searches.
Yeah, I wasn't familiar with that, but Google, of course, is always rearranging its algorithms to make sure that information on Stormfront's one of them. We've been really downgraded by Google's algorithms. You can hardly even find Stormfront now. They have it completely eliminated us from their listings, but they almost have. And of course, you're doing that with everybody. So they don't really delist. I've been familiar with Stormfront a long time. One thing they used to do is they had a page rank system. I guess they still do, but they don't call it that anymore, I don't think. And if you had a page rank of 6 or 7, you became up high in the search engine results. But what they would do, originally they only did it for spam sites. They would reduce the page rank of any given website to 0. So it almost never came up in any kind of search. Nowadays, they've got something similar. But, and of course, they really hurt our rankings in search engine results by doing that to us. They just didn't completely eliminate or delist us. And our over a million pages, but certainly had an effect.
It's another example of how the synagogue of Satan lies.
Well, and speaking of the synagogue of Satan, I'd like to ask Andy, because that was a popular book. I know it sold well, and originally you were selling it via Amazon. Over the years, how have you noticed the censorship coming down with regards to your books?
Well, I'll get onto that, but very quickly before I do, and I'm delighted to have the opportunity today to do this specifically for Jay and for Don, because you'll be familiar with Wimbledon, as in the Wimbledon tennis tournament.
Yes.
Well, there's a shopping centre there, and in that shopping centre there is an Apple store. Okay, and this is a picture of me. I'm just going to drop it in our chat, standing in front of that Apple store. So if you guys can check it out, and you can give us the name of the Apple store,
Stormfront.
All right. Yeah, indeed.
Exactly. So, I always see my searches on Stormfront come up with this Apple store.
Oh, you've seen it before. Never mind, but you've got a picture now.
I haven't seen it. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. I think it was June of that's when the thing's dated anyway, June of 2019. But going back to the book, one thing, yeah, I mean, the censorship on that was really quite immense. But one strange thing to actually say in Amazon's defense.
That's natives. The nations grieve when the white...
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the Republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the Republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show. Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Luck to find romance, and rest of the day wouldn't die.
One thing, yeah, I mean, the censorship on that was really quite immense. But one strange thing to actually say in Amazon's defense is they actually, the World Jewish Congress wrote an open letter to, oh, it sounds like they're coming for me now. The World Jewish Congress wrote an open letter to Amazon back in October, I think, of 2013, asking them to take down my book and other books. And it didn't actually name my book or any other books. It just talked about books that... you know, they considered anti-Semitic and things like that. But the only image in their article was of my book on Amazon. But that was October 2013. It didn't come down until the all those threats were phoned into Jewish centres in America that ended up being from an Israeli guy in a loft or an attic or something. And then that's when they took about 130 books down, and mine was included. So it lasted about another 4 or 5 years after that. They didn't comply straight away by any means. But the problem that we have straight after that is that would have been around April time. And I had an online publisher called Lulu, and they were really good. And they then wrote to me in September and said, look, we're very sorry we're having to take the book down, but, you know, we're going to give you a week so you can get any files out and stuff like that. Whereas Amazon, you just got cut off straight away. So if you hadn't saved stuff up, then you were going to have a problem. Do you know what I mean? But the way that they wrote to me, it was they couldn't say anything. But it came across to me like, you know, we're sorry about this because, you know, they sold a lot of my books and they made quite a good amount of money. But the problem is now is that when you lose that sort of publishing, if you ordered my book with it being Lulu, if you ordered it in India, then there'd be a Lulu affiliate in India that would print it and sell it, you know? But now, if you order my book and you're not in America, then you're going to pay the same for the shipping as you are for the book. And, of course, that puts a lot of people off getting it because they're like, well, it's a $25 book and I'm paying $25 shipping. You know, this can't be right. But that's why they do what they do. So that was the effect that I had. That had on me. And then, of course, all the other things like PayPal and what have you that were, you know, taken down over time as well. But it's just unfortunate. I mean, when I put the thing together, I was quite naive in 2006. I really thought it would change things. I thought people would look at that and they'd say, well, we've got to investigate these people, because a lot of, you know, what's in the book is quoted directly from these people. But it's just gotten worse and worse and worse. So Jay and Don and Patrick as well. I mean, you've been in this a lot longer than me, and you know that this control goes back a lot further than when you got involved in it. So we can keep the struggle going, and I think that that's the best that we can do at the moment. But you know, just don't sort of roll over for these people, because that's what they want us to do. The shows you do are popular, and as I say, I've been listening now for several years to Stormfront and other good shows. And yeah, we need to keep getting the message out there. And I've got the article I'll drop in the chat from the World Jewish Congress with the that I just referenced. But and one other thing I was going to mention today, I don't want to take you off topic if you don't want to go off topic, but I understand that there was a documentary being made by a guy called David Simon that involved Don. And I actually watched a series of his recently that went out last just over a year ago in 2020. And it was called The Plot Against America. And it's about an alternate reality in which Charles Lindbergh becomes president of America. And Henry Ford is his minister for trade or what have you. And he doesn't go to war against Germany. And it was quite an interesting series to see. So if you wanted to sort of talk about that at all, we could as well.
Yeah, Jay and I met David Simon when he came down here. And the rest of my family, some of the rest of my family did too. Is he still doing that? I'm not even sure. I wrote to his assistant. And he said that it was still on hold.
I have a quick question. In this alternative history where President Lindbergh didn't go to war against Germany, do the 6 million not die?
I don't know.
Well, I've got the DVD.
I couldn't bring myself to watch it.
Horrors upon horrors.
Yeah, it was a 6-part miniseries on HBO, and don't know what happened actually, but it was all about Jews. David Simon is all about Jews now. He is a Jew, of course, but I couldn't bring myself to watch that thing, and I'll probably have to. If he does a miniseries about Derek and me and my family, then I'll probably watch that. But it was absurd. That was Philip Roth novel that was based on. And Simon and Roth had been buddies before Roth died, apparently. And so, that was totally absurd, but it illustrates just how upset these Jews are with Charles Lindbergh. You know, they're going to malign Charles Lindbergh, and I thought it may not have come off so well with most Americans. Most Americans think Lindbergh was a hero, and they're maligning him. If at some point he had somehow if he had run for president and been elected, he's going to take over and sell out America to the Nazis. But that for those who don't pay attention to any of this, and I didn't.
In this
Simon had a series on HBO about called The Wire, which was about the cops involved. He had been a police reporter.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network.
Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again, it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org. And click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
I've got those weary 20th century blues.
Simon had a series on HBO about called The Wire, which was about the cops in Baltimore. He had been a police reporter at one point in Baltimore, and the black gang. And apparently that, well, I watched a few clips of it. It's kind of interesting. A few clips about white, mostly white cops and black gang members, fighting it out. But, now, and I'm told now that he's doing another, that his current project is about, police corruption in Baltimore.
And we may want to note that, one of the principal black characters in, that series just died of a heroin overdose last week.
I didn't know that. Jay, you keep up with this stuff more than I do. But, yeah, it's kind of interesting. That's what could have happened on a show. But, anyway, it's, I don't know what he's doing now. I guess he's still going to do the series about, my family. And, as you know, Jay, we met with him. He came down because he wanted to hear my voice and get a feel. And what he did, the only reason I even considered talking to him is because the way he does all these shows, he does nuance the villains, right? And so figured, what the hell, he's going to do it anyway. And so you and I went to talk to him, and then the next day, Chloe and you met with him. So anyway, I don't care one way or another whether he does it or not, but if he is going to do it, I'd like to know ahead of time, since it will bring greater attention to my family, which none of us really care anymore, but I would like to know if that's coming. But we're not in any jeopardy if we start getting a lot of more media attention. So we'll see whatever happens. I'm not quite sure what he's doing. You heard anything on that, Andy? I haven't heard anything recently except what they told me.
The only way I could really answer that is that the most interesting part of this six-part series is the extras on the DVD, because there's all these people. Apparently he was approached to do it many years ago, but he didn't think that it was relevant. And then, because of the Trump election, it became relevant. And it wasn't just him. It was so many other people saying, you know, after the Trump election, and we had to do this and, you know, show the dangers of having someone like that in power and all this sort of stuff. So it would that, but you see, so the reason I mention that as well is, of course, you're looking at the 2016 was when they started looking at it, and it wasn't until 2020 it got released. So all I can say is that it takes a while, you know, for a sort of development, I presume. I've got no knowledge of the, you know, film and television industry, but if that was when they started looking at doing it, and it was another 4 years until it came out, it could be quite a while until something you know, that he spoke to you about would see the light of day. So that would be my comment. And the other thing that's interesting, I'll read you the back of the DVD, because it only goes into sort of the early 1940s, but it says, the HBO series The Plot Against America, created by The Wire's David Simon and Ed Burns and based on Philip Roth's acclaimed novel, brilliantly imagines an alternate American history during World War II, told through the eyes of the Levins, a working-class Jewish family in Newark, New Jersey. The six-part limited series charts the political rise of aviation hero Charles Lindbergh, a xenophobic populist who captures the presidency in 1940 and turns the nation towards fascism. Caught in the upheaval, the Levins learned that the violence threatening the lives of ordinary Americans is never more than a moment's political provocation away. And then it gives you the cast list, and it says they star in this powerful tale of intolerance and totalitarianism. So I thought I'd let you know that's off the back of that's the American DVD. You can't get it in the UK, and I was sort of looking at it, because I mentioned on my on one of my shows, because I thought I'd end up doing a show on it, but actually I wouldn't recommend people pay for it, because it wasn't that good. But I thought it'd be interesting to watch. I thought I'd get a show out of it, but I didn't think it was, as I say, that good. But if you've got a subscription service you're already paying for, something like Netflix, Amazon Prime, whatever it is, I don't use anything like that, but if you can access it for free, then have a look at it, and you can always stop watching it whenever you would like. But there was one bit that really stuck with me in the first episode, and this family, the Levins, you've got a working class guy, works you know, sort of office type
the
job,
Levins,
you know, and there's one part and when Charles Lindbergh is becoming popular, and he's at a gas station, and he's talking to this guy who owns a gas station, who's also Jewish, and he says words to the effect of, the goyim are sharpening their knives, something like that. The fact that people were showing interest in Charles Lindbergh, and I was quite surprised that they put something like that in there, because, you know, the narrative that they tend to have is, you know, there is nothing like that going on at that sort of low level. It's all the Rothschilds and the Soroses and stuff like that. But it was the way that people at that level that were supposed to be working class were, you know, talking about the non-Jews as the goyim. So that kind of jumped out at me. But apart from that, it was, it just didn't grip me. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't, I was pleased to finish it, to be honest with you. Back to you.
Well, I'd just like to mention that my local library has a huge DVD section, and they always have like various HBO miniseries and stuff. So I'm going to go to my library and see if I can get it, because you definitely don't want to, give them the satisfaction of getting royalties by paying for it. But most people know that, like for instance, the founding fathers of our country, like Benjamin Franklin, you know, he said that the Old Testament, it's impossible to find anything that's been given by divine inspiration. And John Adams called the Jewish Old Testament demonic.
Well, I just want to clarify, though, with regards to this series. So in this alternative history, it's the idea that not only does Hitler get his 6 million, but Lindbergh matches it. Is it like an NPR fundraiser where, you know, you get Lindbergh surprise matching Jews for Hitler's Jews?
The 6 million, this figure's not touched on, because I think that it actually ends before the end of the Second World War. As I say, I was losing interest. It starts in 1940, so that's when Lindbergh basically wins the presidency. But there were some interesting things, because one good part of it is John Turturro's in it, and he plays a leading rabbi who supports Lindbergh. And he ends up falling out with this Jewish family, the Levins, and things like that, because they don't like Lindbergh. But of course, John Turturro is not Jewish, but he played that role very well. And there's a part where they invite some prominent military leader over from Germany to have a dinner at the White House. You know, he's sort of a state visit, if you like. So Lindbergh's there, and there's this big gathering. And Henry Ford approaches this rabbi there and says something, anti-Semitic to him. And so they really were throwing in Henry Ford anti-Semitism in there. And at the end, I'm not going to do a spoiler, sorry. But the point is that Ford is given a prominent position in the series. And funnily enough, the actor who played him looked very much like him. So they obviously sought out someone that looked similar as well. So I just thought I'd throw that in.
Okay. Well, so much for David Simon. I had never heard of David Simon before his associates got in touch with me. And, he's really nasty. Really nasty Jew.
He was doing his best to be cordial with us. And I remember distinctly when he told us about his Lindbergh series, I made a comment, something like, boy, that would have been great. And I remember he gave me a look. He didn't say anything, but I could see in his eyes that he did not like that comment.
Between the margaritas.
Yeah, he was pounding the margaritas back. I'll bet he was probably nervous being in the presence of what they would consider evil.
Yeah, I don't care if he drinks margaritas, but anyway,
I think it was to calm his nerves.
Yeah. So he was cordial. He's got that other side of his personality.
And that's the way they are generally. You know, they're two-faced.
Yeah. So, anyway, we'll see what happens with that, if anything. But I gather the pandemic put that project on hold. And The Wire was a hugely popular TV show, though. I never watched it before. I've only watched a few clips since then. But it was completely different from his otherwise personality, and a lot of people loved it. They can't believe that when they go to his Twitter site that he is so nasty. The guy that did the, according to some of his fans, the best TV show ever done, could turn so nasty with all of his invented obscenities and all of that. But anyway. It doesn't matter. But it's kind of, he does have an effect. You know, he does have an audience. So we'll see what is to come. And as far as my family, we don't care. But be interesting to see. Nevertheless. You care, Jay?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, actually, there would, if he had it, you know, had one of the settings as my house where we used to have all our meetings. I mean, I've had people tell me that, you know, I should write a book about all the crazy things that had happened at my house. You know, like I let the skinheads have a keg party one time, and one of the local Klansmen was a real character. So there is a lot of comedic material there.
Yeah, Jay and I go back a long way. I met you in 89 or 88. Yeah, 88.
Yeah.
And
I know we sort of we went to the same conferences before we moved to Florida up in Michigan at Bob Miles' place. Bob Miles was one of my great inspirations, and I'm sure he was with you too, Don.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Anyway, we've kind of moved beyond all of that, or for better or worse, but we don't meet at your house anymore. that was, I think eventually we formalized those social gatherings into the Populist Party initially. And then other things going on. But yeah, you certainly had a lineup coming to your house. So we can reminisce about that. But we don't do much of that. We don't do any of that anymore.
Yeah, I can remember so many crazy things.
Yeah. Okay. Patrick. Where are we going?
Well, where are we going indeed? I mean, as a society, our republic is lost. Do we have any spark of resistance? And, I mean, there was in Kentucky over the weekend, I guess it was over the weekend, or maybe it was of Friday, but the state legislature and the Supreme Court basically overruled the governor. You are seeing governor on the mask mandate for school kids for the year, and so you are seeing, you know, little victories here and there. And the question winds up being, is it going to be too little, too late? Is it enough? Are we really seeing some momentum building, or is there just so much complacency? And you know, it's really hard to know. I know that Nick Fuentes, I mean, we don't have a whole lot of stuff going on in terms of demonstrations because it hasn't worked out well. And you've got a demonstration coming up on the 18th, which what day would that be? Is the 18th Friday? Or is that Saturday? Maybe that's Saturday.
That's a Saturday.
Yeah, for a demonstration in Washington, D.C. in favor of the people who were arrested on January 6th. Which is widely being called a setup, and there's, you know, calls for people not to go.
But that really is an outrage that people are locked up without bail just for going to a demonstration, whereas like the real criminals that were out burning down our cities, they didn't have any bail set for them at all. So. Sympathetic.
They were commended. They were commended by media establishment.
Yeah, they were doing their patriotic duty, burning down the cities with their protests.
Because it was all for racial justice. And then, of course, this past weekend, 9/11 on Saturday, you had George W. Bush out there comparing the January 6th people to Al-Qaeda. And, you know, and now the this has been pointed out by many people, that the liberals who were so, just thought of George Bush as a complete moron, now he's a senior statesman, and these are wise words. And I don't know. I think regular people have to be alarmed at what's going on, and yet you're not seeing the resistance. They've been able to take away means of resistance. Nick Fuentes was going to have some sort of flash demonstration in Chicago. He's somebody who, because the thing is, if we announce something ahead of time, then the Antifa shows up and you get a fecal show. But Nick Fuentes is somebody who, because he has a young technologically savvy base that follows him on Telegram or Gab or whatever, he can raise a respectable crowd in an hour, not giving the Antifa or the opponents a chance to respond. And he was going to do something on Saturday, but then because it was 9/11, he decided not to.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
The Antifa or the opponents a chance to respond. And he was going to do something on Saturday, but then because it was 9/11, he decided not to. And I don't know how much of a role public demonstrations are going to play. The school board meetings were great because I think it would be hard for Antifa to crash a school board meeting. Am I wrong? But, you know, and we got something out of it, but I don't know if you're going to have continued school board meetings. I don't know how effective that will be as a venue moving into the school year. It's, you know, where there's been so much deplatforming. People, a lot of people have just been kind of removed from the public eye. So I don't know. I'm just kicking that out there. Andy or Jay, Don, any thoughts on this?
I'll just jump in quickly and just say Mark's been on several shows, I think with yourself, Jeremy, myself, and he's adamant that people shouldn't go to this because he says it's a setup and he doesn't want to see people arrested. But you see, at the same time, I think that the safety of our people is paramount. But then at the same time, if we're entering an age where we can no longer even protest, then these people are just going to steamroll over us. So it's a very difficult one to call. But and also, as Jay said, I mean, someone's got to stand up for these people, you know, rotting in jail, no bail. We've heard their conditions are supposed to be terrible. And then we hear that Marjorie Taylor Greene or whoever tried to go in to see him and was denied access, all these different things. So it is shocking. But over to Jay or Don.
Well, I think people should stand up, get a backbone and keep protesting. That's the manly thing to do. It might not be the smart thing, but it's the manly thing.
Well, they've been having a lot of protests in London and other cities in the UK. Andy, how much of a role did those protests have in getting Boris Johnson to back down from the vaccine passport?
Well, it's funny. I heard there's a band that you probably have heard of called Right Said Fred that did a song, I'm Too Sexy. I think that was quite an international hit, a bit strange. But they were being interviewed on the Richie Allen show, and they're against all these lockdowns. And they went on the initial protests in London, and they said, this was earlier in the year, and basically in a year, it had started off the first one with about 4,000 people, and it had grown to 4 million. And they said, you tell me any other movement that's grown that quickly in a year. And so I think that the protests have had an effect. Going back to what Jay said as well, something that just crossed my mind is, do we know that all these people that are behind bars because they entered that Capitol building? If that is the case and they're not there for any other reason, then people who do protest just need to make sure that they don't trespass into, well, you can't even call that private property, but you know what I'm getting at.
Very good point.
And then they'd be safe that way.
So that is a Stormfront show. You can go to stormfront.org and you'll be able to find out where and when to hear it. So stormfront.org. Anyway, I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode, very exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site.
It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at TLBTalk.com and join the social media revolution.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.